Celtics Talk podcast is presented by 24autogroup.com. 11 locations across New England.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of the Celtics Talk podcast, the post-game pod number 73, coming to you after the Celtics take down the Kings, 132-109, 50th win of the season, and we are back, baby. The vibes are immaculate once again. And well, all it took was Jason Tatum being super efficient and Rob Williams coming back and Derek White playing a bunch of minutes, but all is right again with the Boston Celtics. So despite, and I mean, I don't want to call it an overreaction because there was plenty to be mad about the other night, and the losses on this trip to Utah and Houston were not great, but you have end the road trip on a positive, 4-2 coming back home, still in the mix for premium seating, and you're feeling a little bit better based on the way they played tonight. Coming up, you'll hear Abby go one-on-one with Jaylen Brown. You'll hear some of our post-game reaction, and we'll take you inside the locker room. But I just want to start, like, you know, it's so funny because we sit there and, look, I'm guilty of it too. I've certainly ride the roller coaster. And in the aftermath of that Utah game, I was really down on this team. I just thought it was a, you know, it's not even just the wins and losses. It's just the pattern and being a middling offense and not being sharp at the end of games. And, you know, there's just the little stuff that nags at me that says, is this like a true contender? And yet when you sit down to diagnose the easy way to fix it, well, it's pretty easy. Jason Tatum plays a lot sharper than he's been since the All-Star break. You get Robert Williams back, and man, it looks a lot different. A lot of those margins that Joe Mazzulla likes to obsess about get tighten up because Rob's out there controlling the glass. The best part of this Sacramento game was the Celtics valuing the basketball. I think they had one turnover in the first quarter, five for the game. I think it was only three live ball turnovers. When you have an offense with the capabilities of the Celtics, and you pair it with an opponent like the Kings, who don't play a lot of defense and certainly don't protect the rim, and you limit your turnovers, that's how you get to 132 points, and you don't even have to do it in a loud way. Like, you just look up and like, oh, wow, Tatum's at 35, Jaylen's at 27, everybody else is doing their part. And that's the roadmap for the Celtics. Just stay healthy, have everybody out there, have all those options, get that ball moving. You know, I was poking around during the game, and I found this, like, there's this interesting little, I think it's powered by IBM or something on the NBA website. They track how many possessions per team each team has with at least four passes in the front court. So you get over the half court line, and there's at least four passes before the shot. And most teams are in the, like, you know, say 15% of their offense is features that. So, you know, you don't expect it a lot. You think about transition and isolation and all that. So it's a very small percentage of plays. But what it does is it accentuates when you are moving the ball, like, just how good it could be. And I thought it was super interesting. The Celtics were at, like, 1.23 points per play, which is elite in any form. Like, no matter what the play type was, that is elite. Some situations you take 1 point per play, let alone almost an extra quarter point per play. And the interesting thing to me was that most of the rest of the league was at 1.05, 1.09 wasn't like a high number for another team. And so when you see like just how starkly dominant the Celtics can be compared to the rest of the league, it accentuates why they need to continue to move the ball. And so on this night, felt like there was multiple possessions where someone passed up a good shot to get a great shot. And when Tatum is in hockey assist mode and when everyone is willing to just keep that ball moving, all of a sudden it feels like those shots go down easier. So intrigued to kind of keep charting it and see just how much the Celtics are able to keep that ball going. I do think, you know, this wouldn't be the Celtics Talk podcast if I didn't rave about Rob being back, not only for his ability to help you on the glass, not only for the, you know, easy buckets that you get when teams crash on Tatum and he just outlets it as Rob slip into the rim. But I just think ball movement-wise, you have another willing passer, a guy who just doesn't want the ball in his hands, that just wants to keep it moving, wants to get people better looks, can tap out rebounds. So I think it's not a surprise that on this night the Celtics moved the ball really well, that Rob was back out there and playing his 21 minutes and being super efficient. The other thing we have to focus on, because the thing I was most despondent about the other night was Derek White not playing in the fourth quarter. Not only does he play in the fourth quarter tonight, plays, I think it was over 35, 38 minutes. And so I was looking up that stat during our postgame show. Celtics are now 13-2 when Derek White plays over 35 minutes. The two losses, the one was up in Milwaukee where he played like a season high in minutes, but the Celtics were out without four starters. And the other one was like a Cleveland overtime loss. So what that tells me is that when Derek White plays and plays a lot, the Celtics typically are winning those games and they're doing good things because this is what Derek White does. He makes everything better. And I just thought there was multiple instances where even just like little things. He had 10 assists tonight or 11 assists tonight. I think they gave him an extra one. It was he just made the right play and made an easy pass and was a connector at times. And you need those guys on the court. And I know me and Scal were going at it about the other night, and I understand you need size and you're trying to combat the glass that you're losing on. And I don't know if Derek White could have helped it. I would have liked to have seen, see if he could have. And I know you're not the 6'3" guard is probably not going to solve your rebounding woes, but so much of what he does and so much of how he changes the way the Celtics play led me to believe that he could have been a positive there. So good to see Joe Mazzulla go to what felt like the playoff rotation. So Rob comes off the bench. Even this was interesting, and maybe I'm burying the lead here. Abby was talking to Joe before the game, and he was asking about, you know, how much do you need to see the double big again and the starting lineup from last year. And Joe kind of, he didn't expressly say, like, you know, that's, we're not going back to that, but he sort of said that, you know, what's to say that's our starting lineup. And the insinuation there has been, you know, for most of the season, they've had Derek White in that spot, and it's been really good, much better than last year's starting five. So maybe they just stick with this, and maybe Rob does come off the bench, and maybe that alleviates how much you got to stagger your big man. Now, you don't have to lean on Luke Kornet and Mike Muscala, and if Grant gives you serviceable minutes, your big man rotation is pretty firmed up, and then you still get the benefit of extra Derek White. And so as much as I want to see Rob out there as much as possible, and maybe there will be instances in the postseason where the starting games makes the most sense, and I do think that that starting five from last year gives you your highest ceiling of play, but I can't deny that there's a lot of comfort with that group based on Derek White getting a lot of minutes, and so it will be interesting to see just what the balance is. Only one back-to-back remaining, I think, at the finish line, or no, they're at the end of the month, and then another one in April. So Al will miss some time there. I wonder if Rob will sit out part of those as well. Like, they play Milwaukee on the front end of a back-to-back, and then they come home to play Utah. I can't imagine it's going to – like, you're going to probably load up that first night and then figure it out from there. But, again, moral of the story tonight, you feel really good seeing it back whole. A reminder that a lot of what nags you goes away when you've got Rob and Jason's playing like that, and Jalen's still playing at a high level. So I brought myself back off the ledge. Still a lot that I want to see shored up over these final nine games, but here they are, 50 wins, 50-23. Got a chance. I think they're two games back of the Bucks, still a game ahead of Philadelphia. Still work to be done, but an encouraging end to what could have been a really maddening road trip. All right, let's get into the rest of our post-game coverage.
Celtics get the win 132-109 in a game in which they looked about as good as we've seen them over the last few months. I thought Jason Tatum in particular, I mean, not just scoring the ball, but extremely active defensively, diving after loose balls, saving balls out of bounds. Just a great performance overall from this entire team, but they're two leaders as well.
And yeah, I mean, you can go with the leaders. You can go with, you know, only five turnovers on the game. It was probably the closest to 48 minutes. They kind of kept their tone the same time. They're getting downhill. They're moving the basketball. They're attacking the rim. You know, the game plan was to attack Sacramento and get to the paint. So when you look at the win in its entirety, like, we've had some of these, not a lot of these.
And I just thought going to a playoff-type rotation and playing as crisp as they did and staying engaged the whole night, you can just tell –
that there's just a different level for this team, and especially going up against a team that they clearly respected and wanted to go out there and show well, knew they couldn't play defense, and so they went out there and took advantage.
Yeah, Rob Williams back in the lineup, so he was one of the eight guys that played. He said playoff rotation. Joe Mazzulla basically only played eight guys tonight. And then he saw some guys get some minutes at the very end there. But Grant Williams, one of those eight players getting some minutes. But let's talk about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown combining for 63 points and just what they were able to do offensively and how assertive, especially Tatum, was.
Yeah, starting with Tatum, super confident, liked him, establishing, you know, what makes Tatum special, his ability to move all over the floor. He could beat you from the free throw line. He could beat you from the post. He could beat you off the drive. He could beat you with the three, the catch and shoot, the off the dribble. But I liked his attack mode. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the best version of Tatum. I think when he's playing inside out, I think he's unstoppable. And when he gets to the free throw line, he's unstoppable as well. So great game for Tatum. Great mindset throughout this game.
20 points in the paint. I love the highlights. Just was willing to attack every time. Got a couple post-ups, including early. We even saw that relocate three where he touches the paint first and gets out there. Just play. This is the way that you hope Tatum plays. Super aggressive, sets the tone, especially early, and just, you know, does what Tatum does. I guess it's just sometimes you look up and you're like, oh, 36. That's what he, you know. What he does.
Well, I thought Jaylen Brown had, you know, like even a quiet 27. He was extremely efficient. I mean, he was 10 of 16 from the field, 4 of 7 from 3, but he was there just, you know, supplementing, complementing the offense throughout the night.
Well, he was getting to his mid-range a lot. He shot the three well off the pull-up. You know, we didn't see a lot of Jaylen Brown out in transition, but, like, we saw a lot of this right here. Footwork on point. Here he is with a pullback. Snap, like he just had a lot of plays where he was showing off his shooting range, and I just thought he was spectacular today shooting the basketball.
Took care of the ball, which is like the most important thing with Jaylen. I mean, the whole team really did, but especially when Jaylen takes care of the ball, when he's 10 of 16 shooting and gives you that efficiency, just takes it to another level. And he's just been doing it so long. Look at the note there, six straight games with 24 plus. Flexing on him too.
Yeah,
This is what Jaylen's been doing lately, and the problem has been like Tatum hasn't been as efficient, and it's caused like the offense to struggle at times. But tonight they both got it going. They're both super efficient. Reminds you what this team is capable of.
Capable of a 23-point win on the road to wrap up a road trip against a good Sacramento.
We're back, baby. Good vibes all around.
Let's go back to Sacramento.
Abby Chin's got Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen, solid way to close out the road trip. You guys sustained.
Say that again.
You guys sustained every one of their runs, closed out the quarter strong, ball security. How were you able to win on what Joe calls the margins today?
Yeah, that looked like the team I recognize. We came out, we played 48 minutes, we didn't take our foot off the gas. We took care of business, ended the road trip well, get back home and take care of business again.
How important was it for you guys to do that?
Super important. You know, we dropped a couple games on this trip that we probably shouldn't have. You know, the Sacramento Kings been playing good basketball, so we wanted to come in here and make a little bit of a statement.
What'd Marcus just call you? The assassin?
I don't know. I couldn't hear it. It's a little loud in here. I can't hear nothing.
Do you have any nicknames going with the mask?
I guess, you know, whatever the fans, you know, go with, I'm with. As long as we getting wins, that's all that matters to me.
This was the 50th win of the season. Like you said, 4-2 on this road trip. How's the energy right now?
Absolutely, yeah. We're going into spring. Winter is over. So it's definitely an energy shift on the way. So we just got to take advantage of our opportunities and do what we do best.
How was it having Rob back?
Great, you know what I mean? Seeing Rob on the floor for us is huge. You know, rebounding, he was big down there. He gives us a different level defensively, and tonight he made a difference.
Jaylen, thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
I think we came out with purpose. Obviously, you know, disappointed, lost last game. It's all about how you respond. And, you know, this was, we played like, you know, how we know we're supposed to play tonight. And, I mean, a lot had to do with us responding from a loss and having our full team, you know, obviously besides Peyton. But, you know, having, you know, Rob back, you know, makes the world a difference.
Was it different for you
in your mindset? Tonight? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you want to close out the trip strong. You know, we feel like we dropped two that we shouldn't have. But, you know, all we could do was worry about tonight and closing out strong, you know, last game of the trip, you know, that is very important.
What stood out to you in that turnover differential to not only force 14 but only give up five on your
Yeah, I talked about it earlier. Controlling the things that we can control, rebounding, turning the ball over, right? You know, the more possessions that we have, the more shots that we take, you know, the better chances we have of winning the game.
We're also able to slow down the offense. Fox only scored 18, which is good for any other player, though. But is that the discussion coming in here, you know, try to slow down that pace of the Kings?
Yeah, you know, get back in transition, load up. We obviously know Fox probably the fastest player in the league with the basketball, and you know they play with you know such great pace. So just being connected on defense and trying to show a crowd was a point of emphasis tonight.
How did you maintain? They scored 24 points in the first 6 minutes. And then how did you kind of stem the tide and then start to get stops as opposed to kind of letting go of the rope?
Yeah, they came out swinging early. Some of them were some tough shots, but I think, you know, we just stayed the course of, you know, picking up the pressure on defense, getting into guys a little bit more. Because like you said, it was just trading buckets early, and we knew we had to really get some stops in that second quarter.
How important was that end of the second quarter spurt for you, 7 points in the last 2:16? How critical was that to give you guys a halftime lead and some momentum?
I mean, that was big, right? Closing out quarters is, you know, very important in this league. Especially going into halftime. And, you know, we track those things, you know, end of quarter, you know, points and, you know, how we size up against other teams in those moments.
Jason, you mentioned talking about calming down the crowd. Can you just talk about, give your assessment on just the atmosphere of tonight's game?
Yeah. I mean, they've always had a great crowd. And obviously this year they playing extremely well. You know, their fans show up, but we did have a big Celtics fan base here, so I'll point that out as well.
You said Rob makes a world of difference. How do you feel just the energy change when he's out there?
You know, obviously we're a lot bigger when he's out there, and we just shows – it just makes us much more dynamic, I feel like, his presence, you know. You know, even if he's not blocking shots, maybe he's deterring people away from attacking the basket. You know, he's grabbing rebounds, giving us second and third chance opportunities. Obviously a lob threat. So, you know, it was just great to have, you know, the whole team out there. Obviously we didn't have P, but, you know, having that starters and having Rob back, you know, makes us, we're just a different team.
Hey, Jason, you guys got the win, but do you feel a difference in this Sacramento Kings team versus ones that you've seen in the past?
Yeah. I mean, they're a lot better than they have been in recent years. And give a lot of credit to Mike Brown. You know, those got the guys playing a lot better. You know, Fox is, like I said, he's playing at all NBA level. And Sabonis has been great for them. And, you know, they just play with so much pace. And just feel like all those guys got a lot more confidence. And, you know, when you're playing with confidence and freedom, you know, naturally, you know, open things up for you as an individual and as a group. And they've been on a roll.
Jason, I know you guys want to shut Grant out, but when Tennessee beats Duke, you're probably not going to shut him up. So what's the last few days been like being around Grant?
It's been tough. You know, obviously tough for my guys down there at Durham. Losing the second round, you know, felt bad for them. But, you know, losing to Grant, you know, he already talked enough. So, you know, throwing gas to the fire didn't help. And just some more shit I got to deal with him.
Including tonight, and when you get a couple of days off, how do you decompress and kind of maybe soothe some of your feelings and come back refreshed?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough loss on a back-to-back. We lost two games on this trip that we probably should have won, you know, and, you know, ain't really no excuse for it. I think just we got to be better, you know. Ultimately, we haven't been playing 48 minutes consistently, but, you know, we got, what, 9 or 10 games left going into the playoffs. It's, you know, that time where, you know, leadership starts to step out. So you could put that on, you know, the top guys to make sure that everybody's ready to go each and every night, and I'm one of those guys, so I got to do a better job of instilling that in my teammates to have everybody rocking and rolling when it's time to go.